if we think about it a little bit, we all know that God is doing a lot more than we are aware of. It doesn't take much faith to say God is in charge of places we've never been to, or he knows things that haven't even happened yet. But even though we know that, we tend to focus only on ourselves, on our own little piece of the world, and we don't think very much about what God is doing anywhere else. I mention this because in our readings from the Acts of the Apostles, we might get the impression in the middle of that book that everything is about Paul and his missionary journeys. But as we look more closely, and especially as we get into the later parts of the book, we realize, well, actually, there's a lot going on that Paul wasn't even aware of. It's something like when, last month when Pope Leo went to Africa? He went to places that probably we don't think about, Algeria or Cameroon or someplace, Angola. And when he got there, big crowds of people meet him. He has masses of 500,000 people. We say, well, of course there are believers in these places. And of course, God has been at work there before the Pope got there and before we ever heard about it in the news. So it's an eye-opener. Well, as I say, something like this is happening in the Acts of the Apostles. When Paul got to Corinth, he met this married couple, Aquila and Priscilla, who had come from Rome. They already knew the faith, the Christian faith. And Paul had never gotten to Rome, so somehow the faith had already gotten to Rome. They had been kicked, this married couple had been kicked out of Rome, and they ended up in Corinth, which is in Greece. And so Paul met them there. Then at some point, Paul traveled with this married couple to Ephesus, and then he left them there and he went back to Antioch. So there's this married couple, Christian. They were Jews who had become Christians, and they're in Ephesus. And along comes this man, Apollos. Paul isn't around. Where did this Apollos come from? It says, well, he came from Alexandria, which is in Egypt. And he was an expert in the scriptures. He was an eloquent speaker, a man full of zeal. And he's preaching about Jesus. You see, but my point is, it's not that God only works where we're aware of his working, or he's only working through us or people that we know. He's working everywhere, in people we never even heard of. Who ever heard of Apollos? All of a sudden he shows up in Ephesus and he starts preaching about Jesus. But there was something missing in his preaching. It seems that Apollos was more influenced by the preaching of John the Baptist. He had never heard John personally, but the message of John had somehow gotten to Egypt. And what John said about Jesus had gotten to Egypt. John pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God, as the one who was to come, the Messiah. So John had already declared that before he was ever arrested. And that message spread around, that John, who was baptizing to call people to repentance, was preparing the way for this Jesus. Jesus had come and John pointed him out. He's the one. So Apollos knew that much. But apparently he didn't know the whole picture, because he didn't know about baptism. He apparently didn't know the Holy Spirit. So what he knew was Jesus as the fulfillment of the scriptures, of the prophecies. And that's what he was preaching about, and he was making a great impact in Ephesus. But when Aquila and Priscilla hear him, and they know the fullness of the gospel, especially by living with Paul, they realize, oh, this Apollos, he's a great speaker and everything, but he's missing some basics. Next week, as we read more from the Acts of the Apostles, we'll hear about Paul returning to Ephesus. By this time, Apollos goes to Corinth, so I don't know if they meet or when they met, but So Apollos leaves, goes to Corinth, and Paul comes to Ephesus, and he meets people who are believers, and he says, well, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they say, well, we never heard of the Holy Spirit. I think that's Monday or Tuesday of next week. We'll hear that passage. We never heard of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul asks them, well, how were you baptized? And they said, with the baptism of John. So you can see what's happening here. The mission of John the Baptist, which you would think had been suddenly concluded when he was beheaded in prison, it's spreading all over. Spreading in Egypt, it's spreading in Asia Minor, up in what we call Turkey, and to Ephesus, and this message of John's call to repentance and his pointing out the one who is to come has gotten that far. But the fullness of the message had not. So that's what happened with Apollos. So Priscilla and Aquila, they take Apollos aside and they explain to him the fuller picture, which is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see this expert in the scriptures learning from these tent makers. And it's also beautiful to see this humble couple, taking the risk of addressing this expert evangelist speaker. And they both benefit from it. Then when Apollos wants to go over to Greece, that's why he went to Corinth, the married couple and the other believers, they said, oh, good, yes, he's certainly qualified to spread the gospel. After Apollos was in Corinth for a while, some people were more impressed with Apollos than they were with Paul. And some factions developed. You read about this in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul had heard that some people are following him and some people are following Apollos. And he writes to them and says, what, you have to be instructed in the basics? Paul is not the key figure here. Apollos is not the key figure. Jesus is the key figure. Paul planted the seeds. Apollos watered the seeds. But God is the one who gives the growth. That's what Paul writes in his letter. Pointing out that we shouldn't be so caught up in the human figures whom God chooses, but be aware of the bigger picture, the Holy Spirit at work, planting the divine life in people all over the world. As if to say, neither Paul nor Apollos nor anybody else is of any great account. God is our focus, and the life of God is given to us in the Holy Spirit. When we pray our novena to the Holy Spirit, we're asking for this gift to be renewed in us, to be enriched in us, so that we can be his instruments in small or large ways. It's up to him. But it's that God can do the work he wants to do in us and through us. Well, this mystery of God at work is what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. This is at the Last Supper. This is his last instruction to the apostles. After this, as we'll read next week, Jesus starts praying to the Father, and the disciples are listening to him pray to the Father. But here, he's really instructing the disciples, as he's been doing this for several chapters already, and we've been pondering this discourse at the Last Supper. But here, he says to them, ask the Father in my name for anything, and he will give it to you. You don't have to rely on me asking the Father for you, because the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. What he's revealing, and I'm sure the apostles didn't understand what he was talking about, not yet, but what he's revealing is that the life that he shares with the Father is the life that he shares with us, that he's going to pour into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that the communion, the friendship, the intimacy, the bond that exists between the Father and the Son is going to be given to us. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the love of God at work in us. So So we don't have to worry about Paul and Apollos or anybody else. We, all of us who are baptized and confirmed and who are open to the work of the Holy Spirit, are God's chosen ones. And what we say to God, He hears. What we pray in Jesus' name, He answers. In ways we don't always understand, of course. As I said at the beginning, we know God does things that we don't understand. He does things we never know about. A lot of the things He does that we don't know about are things going on in us and in our own life. That's why this yielding to the Holy Spirit is so important, so that He can work whether we understand it or not. If you want to think of a great practical example, we go to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When the angel told Mary that she would become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, she didn't understand what that would mean, but she still said yes to it. Saying yes to God because we trust in His promises, because we know that the Holy Spirit can work without our grasp of it, that's faith. That's the life of faith. So as we continue our novena to the Holy Spirit and we reflect on the different things that we do see in Paul and Apollos or anyone else in our own lives, we also are aware of God is doing much more and wants to do much more. So we ask Him to continue His work in us. We ask Him to pour out His gifts so that we can be fruitful participants in the great work of building the kingdom of God.